I am pleased to introduce Cynthia Davis, and Cynthia is running for the office of U.S. Congresswoman in the 3rd U.S. Congressional District on the Republican primary ballot in August. And first of all, welcome to the program.
Hi, Diane. Welcome to you, too, and all of your wonderful listeners.
So, Cynthia, tell the listeners a little bit about yourself, where you're from, what you've done, leading up to this point where you've decided to run for Congress.
Well, first of all, I'd like to talk to you about this horrific thunderstorm you're getting. You didn't tell your listeners, if you go to the basement, make sure you take your radio with you so they can keep listening.
Hey, good thought. Good thought. Yes. Bring your radio with you.
But while we were on break waiting for me to come on, because of all the excitement over the thunderstorm, I went ahead and looked up weather.com, and I saw where I live, St. Charles County, and you asked me, is anything coming down yet? And I said, no, it's perfectly dry. But when I saw the radar, I was thinking, oh my goodness, there's this huge red area. It's right over Washington. It's over Troy. It's coming to St. Charles County. I just can't feel it yet. And that is exactly what's happening with Congress. We have a real problem coming. Some people are aware of it because they've looked at the signs and they know it's on its way. But this country is in trouble like never before. We have been betrayed by this Congress. We have got the worst Congress in my lifetime. The congressional approval rating is down to 11%. Now, if you're happy with that, fine. But the 89% of America are looking at this huge problem, and we're seeing bigger storms yet coming. And unless we do an intervention, it's only going to get worse. So all of these people in Congress come home, Blaine Lukemeyer included. They say, oh, it wasn't my hand in the cookie jar. Well, you know what? If it wasn't his hand in the cookie jar, how did the cookie jar get empty? And it's not just empty, it's broken. We have a broken cookie jar now, and unless we do something to fix it, we're going to have worse problems yet. So we have now a person who claimed to espouse the values of the Republican Party, which is pro-life. And what did he do? He voted to fund Planned Parenthood. Now, how can you be pro-life and fund Planned Parenthood? It makes no sense.
And by the way, I've just been handed a piece of hail by John Cummington, so it is hailing out here. But to go back to the question, too, I'd like to know a little bit about you. The listeners would like to know a little bit about you, where you're from, sort of what you've done leading up to that decision to seek the office. So they can know about you more.
Let me tell you about who I am and how I got to a place like this today. Because it's true, a lot of people don't want to run for office unless they know what they're doing. And for me, it started really going back 28 years ago. My husband was a truck driver, and I didn't like his job because he was never home. He was over the road all the time. And so I did the ultimate weapon. I prayed for him. And God changed his heart, life, everything. And he came home one weekend, and he said, Cynthia, I just read this book, and the author is telling me I'm a lousy husband and father because I don't spend any time with my family. Is that true? And so it was kind of funny at the time because I didn't say it. The author did. So we said, what are we going to do? He said, I love my job more than anything. I can't give it up to just be doing something boring. So we asked, what are the three questions? What does O'Fallon need? What doesn't it have? And what would raise the moral fiber of the community? And so we opened up a Christian bookstore. And that was 28 years ago. We still have Back to Basics Christian Bookstore in O'Fallon, and I even have customers who live in Washington who come to O'Fallon to shop at my store because you don't have a Christian bookstore anymore. So that was the Christian bookstore point, and that's what I've given my whole life to doing. But during that process, I got involved with the business community, and the city of O'Fallon made a really bad decision to shut down Main Street in the middle of the Christmas season to widen Main Street. And that If there are any economists in the audience, you know that shutting down Main Street during the Christmas season is the quickest way to bring the merchants together. And so we formed the O'Fallon Business Association. So I went to these business meetings, and just really out of curiosity, I ended up getting appointed to be the chairman of the legislative committee. So I said, that's great, I'll do it. Now, what is a legislative committee? And they said, well, it's easy. Just go to all the Board of Aldermen meetings, and then you report back at our monthly meeting what they're doing to ruin our lives next. So I thought, sure, I can do that. I went to all the Board of Aldermen meetings. After doing this for a solid year, I topped off my report with the statement, you know what? Unless we change the people in those seats, we will not be able to change the tone of city government. And that's when somebody from across the room said, well, then why don't you run? So I did. I ran, and I got elected to 5 terms in O'Fallon city government. Then when I was there, I realized the real problem was state government. So I ran and got elected to 4 terms in the Missouri State Legislature. And for those who remember Brian Nieves, he and I both got elected to the House at the same time. And then due to term limits, we both left the House at the same time. He moved on to the Senate. I became just a normal person again. Right. So now it's time to, you know what? I've been out of office for nearly 6 years, and it's only gotten worse. So do we want to sit back and let it continue to deteriorate and do nothing to save the country? I don't think so.
So what do you see? And I want to go through some different issues so people can know where you stand. So first of all, what do you see as the role of the federal government, and specifically the role of Congress?
Well, job number one is to protect our country. And my opponent, Blaine Lukemire, voted to fund the refugee resettlement program. Well, that's not protecting the country. The Congress owns the purse strings. And if the Congress will do what the Congress is supposed to do, it will be a game changer for everything else. There are a lot of people who are totally focused on who's the president of the United States. And I don't mind that. That's important, too. But you know what? Obama got away with all kinds of atrocities because the Congress said, yes, that's okay. And they not only said it's okay, they funded it. Now, if Congress would have controlled the purse strings better, we could have shifted the country to the right. Instead, we shifted it to the left. And case in point, in 2009, we had Obamacare passed. We had Obama. We had a Democrat House and Senate. Fine. That's, you know, we're going to lose every day, every time. We understood that. So then in 2010, we got a Republican House and said there, they should be able to stop a freight train. And they could if they wanted to. But no, they came home wringing their hands saying, oh, woe is me. We can't do anything because we don't have the Senate. 2014, America sent a Republican majority to the Senate. And what happened? Still nothing. Even with a Republican majority in House and Senate, Obama is still getting everything he wants. That's because the Congress is dysfunctional. There are some brave people in Congress who are willing to stand alone on principle and on what's right, and they need me to go there to make a difference.
Okay, so let's look at some of the issues. One of them, and you touched on it a little bit with purse strings, the budget deficit. We are continuing to run deficits, and every time we run a deficit, we add to the debt, the national debt of this country, which is approaching $20 trillion. If you were to be elected to Congress, Cynthia Davis, who is running on the Republican primary ballot for U.S. Congress in the 3rd District, how would you bring about dealing with the deficit and the debt? What are your personal views on what needs to be done you would do?
Yeah, number one is Blaine keeps raising the debt ceiling. I don't do that. You know, it's time for some discipline. It's time for us to be brave and show some restraint. We're not getting any of that right now. I believe in limited government. And apparently the other people in Congress believe it's all monopoly money and they can just keep printing more. So you're going to see a huge difference between me and Blaine on that issue. Another thing is, that Blaine and I are very much different on establishment versus free thinker. Blaine will do whatever the Republican leadership tells him to do. He's not willing to say, no, we're not doing that. It's not right. It's putting our children in debt. It's creating a hardship for future generations. We have to be bigger than just one term and say, no, if it's wrong, it's wrong. If it's right, it's right. And I don't care how many people fund my next campaign. In fact, that's what's great about this campaign. I don't owe anybody anything. I did not sell my soul, and I can be free and independent and do the right thing without people saying, yeah, but I gave you $1 million. Now don't you owe me?
Okay. And so where in terms of balancing the budget, you've mentioned that you believe that there should we should not be moving the debt limit. In that case, cutting spending or raising taxes or any combination thereof, how do you bring that into a point where we're no longer running deficits and then we can begin to go after the debt? What would you personally support?
I personally support the Constitution. If you just go back to the Constitution and have a federal government that's doing what the federal government is supposed to do, we have enough money to do that. The problem is you've got people like Blaine in Washington, D.C., giving money to all these special interest groups and creating more bureaucratic nightmares, and then the bureaucracies are making laws instead of the Congress, like what the Constitution calls for, and pretty soon you've got a huge mess. If you stay principled, the principles work every time. You look at a bill and you say, does it grow government bigger or does it shrink it smaller? I will side with shrinking it smaller. Do we spend more money or spend less money? I will side with spending less money. There is so much fat in the budget from the waste, the fraud, and the abuse, that if we can't get this thing under control, we're in worse trouble yet. There is no clear path. Once you lift the lid on your principles, there is no limit to how much more you're going to spend.
Now, okay, and now one a question for you as well, and I kind of want to get to some of these issues for the listeners and for you. National security and terrorism, what do you see as the balance between protecting the public from terrorism and protecting the civil liberties of Americans? Where do you, Cynthia Davis, see that balance as being?
Well, that's very important because that's the first priority of the government. Why are we bringing unvetted refugees here? That is a question Blaine needs to answer. And he's going to say, well, I just voted for it because it was in the big omnibus spending bill. Well, unless you say, no, we're not going to bring more unvetted refugees here, we're not going to get a lid on things. The Constitution established a federal government to provide for the common defense, not to join the United Nations and create global policemen. Protecting our country is one of the foundational functions of government. So why is terrorism on the increase? All we're doing is causing huge problems. And I have a son who's in the military. And he just 2 days ago, he got home from being deployed to the Middle East. And because Congress has not declared a war, we don't know what we're doing, what the mission is, what the objectives are, why we're sending people. He's not even supposed to be going. He's in the Air National Guard. The National Guard is supposed to stay home at time of war. We're acting like it's a war. His airplane got shot at by ISIS and laser beamed. What are we doing over there, and why are we not declaring a war or getting ourselves out of there?
Now, and that is an excellent point, and thank your son for his service. Now, the balance, though, I mean, we've got the issues of civil liberties and, you know, the FBI and the CIA or other agencies having the ability to track down terrorists, and the balance of the civil liberty concerns of individual Americans. How far should the government go? And this is an issue that comes up a lot, that balance. Protecting the public from terrorism, but also protecting the civil liberties of individual Americans.
Well, when I was in the House of Representatives, I won an award for being the most constitutional legislator. And you don't win that award unless you keep going back to the Constitution. The problem is we're not living by the Constitution as it is. If we were, we would be securing our borders. We would track those who overstay their visas. And we would end Obama's illegal amnesty executive order. Instead, my opponent funded Obama's illegal amnesty executive order. So there's a point, again, where if you want to bring illegal aliens in here and look the other way, you are not living within what the Constitution calls for.
And Cynthia Davis, she is a candidate for the office of U.S. Congress in the 3rd Congressional District on the Republican primary ballot. One last question before we wrap it up, and we're close to the top of the hour here, but the Affordable Care Act, repeal and replace, leave in place, what do you support as a means, you personally, as a means to deal with the Affordable Care Act as it stands right now?
Well, health care belongs to the people, not the government. There's nowhere in the U.S. Constitution that is granted the power of health care over the federal government. They have no ability to dispense or regulate or create all these health insurance programs. If we don't rein this in, we're in trouble. Somebody got off the tracks. I'm here to put the train back on the tracks. And I think you'll be really pleased with what you see. Send me to Washington. Both. You send me to Washington, D.C., I'll also be in Washington, Missouri. I'm going to be everywhere, speaking the truth, shining the light, being a beacon of hope. I will give the whole country a new glimpse of what constitutional government looks like, and it's going to be good. You'll like what you see. The only way we're going to accomplish this is if we're brave enough to fire Congress. So join me, and let's just fire Congress. My website is cynthiadavis.us. You can go to cynthiadavis.us and find out how you can volunteer, you can donate money, join the effort. I need your help. I can't do it alone. So if we all pull together and make one big statement, it will not only upgrade the 3rd Congressional District, it will send ripples from throughout the whole country, because other legislators will sit up straight and take notice. Blaine is bringing home F's on his report cards. I've got it all on my website, cynthiadavis.us. And when you go there, click on Blaine's report card, you'll see 30% from Numbers USA for his votes for illegal immigration. He got a 46% from Conservative Review. And with numbers like that, who needs Democrats?
All right, and I thank you so much. Only got about 30 seconds left in the hour. I want to thank you for being on the air with us, Cynthia Davis. She is a candidate for the office of U.S. Congress in the 3rd District on the Republican August primary ballot. Thanks so much for joining us. Stay dry, and best of luck with your campaign.
I will. Thank you so much, and help me fire Congress.